This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors and all that is surrounding that. Youth Day for turkey season this morning. If you have your youngster out or you're on your way, how about giving us a call here at 410-922-6680. We'd love to talk to the youngsters, especially if this is their first turkey hunt, or, you know, maybe they've been successful, maybe they haven't been successful, but we always have a great time talking to the kids. Also, the first day of rockfish season, first day of the trophy striped bass season at Chesapeake Bay. If you're rolling out, you're probably almost there, but give us a call again, 410-922-6680. If you happen to be on a landline and are outside the local dialing area here for Baltimore, if you're on the Eastern Shore or Western Maryland or something like that, and in state, you can call us toll free, 1-800-922-6680. Hey, if you're listening on the internet, that would be cool. We haven't done this in a while, but send us a little email here. Let us know you're listening, where you're listening from. It's ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. It's ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Send us a little email and let me know you're listening all the way out there in, Pocomoke City or Oakland or New Jersey or Ohio or Montana or wherever you might be listening from. We'll be more than glad to get your email. And, you know, if you'd like, we'll read it on the air. We'll just read your first name and where you're listening at. So, internet listeners, email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. It's always nice to know you're listening out there in cyberspace. So, Brian is standing by to take your phone calls at 410-922-6680. Interesting week. Spent a lot of time on the Lower Eastern Shore, a lot of time in Crisfield and Dorchester County this week, and met some good folks and talked to some great people. And I got to tell you, one of the most interesting things of the week was headed to Hooper's Island in Dorchester County, which is the crab-picking capital of the world. I don't know if you know that or not, for crab meat. You've got, you got G.W. Hall, you got Russell Hall, you've got Phillips, you've got W.T. Ruark, you've got Rippin' Brothers. That's five that I know of right there on the island. You know, Fishing Creek, Hooper's Island, Hooperville. And they're all right there within, you know, within 10, 15 minutes of each other. And some of them are, you know, 2-3 minutes apart. And what was interesting, I was there during the mid-morning, and there was no crab picking going on, even though we're 2 weeks into the crab season, the commercial crab season here in Maryland. And I'm wondering what's going on. It's quiet. A couple of the places were closed up. I'm like, okay. So I ran into Sonny Phillips down at W.T. Ruark, and I said, Sonny, what's going on? He goes, we can't get our paperwork back for the temporary workers, who are all Hispanic, by the way. The pickers are all Hispanic. They come year after year after year after year after year, been doing so for more than 15 years. And then I talked to the folks down at Phillips, same thing. And it turns out that those the paperwork was submitted last fall, I believe last October, to bring the migrant, or I guess you call them migrant workers, get the temporary workers back into the country. What happens is these folks don't want to live here. They don't want to live in the shadows in the United States. They don't want to they don't want to become a part of our country. They want to come and work make good money, go back home and live the way they want to live during the wintertime. They don't want to deal with the cold weather here. I understand that. So once the picking season is over, you need to reapply for your paperwork year after year after year. Normally it's back through the process and the folks are back, you know, online when crab season opens 1st of April. Well, they're not. It's apparently an intricate process that has to wind up in the Office of Homeland Security. And where I understand it is right now, it's in the state of Vermont. And the day I was there, they said they got some good news that the paperwork had finally been completed and the workers should return by the end of this month, which is an entire month of crab season that we haven't had any crab pickers. So what does that mean? Well, that means if there's not crabs in the picking market, that means there's crabs in the market, you know, for sale, which means that the prices for crabs at the beginning of this season are lower than they've been in a long, long time. The report came out last week on the survey, the crab survey, and I'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. But, you know, we'd love to have your phone calls here at 410-922-6680. But if you don't call, I've got to keep talking. So we'll talk first about the crab picking. So what that means is those crabbers who are catching crabs on the days that they can get out when it's not too cold and too windy, they're catching crabs. And they're bringing them to the docks, and there's no market for picking crabs. So they've got to sell them on the open crab market. So they go to other processors who pack them and send them out to other people who are in the crab business, whether they're wholesalers, retailers, whatever it might be. And, you know, the prices of crabs has dropped significantly here at the beginning of the season over what it normally is, because there's an overabundance of crabs in the market, because there are no pickers to pick crabs for the crab meat market. Very simple economics, very simple economics. So if your dealer is selling Maryland crabs, and likely you're going to see that in southern Maryland, lower eastern shore, more so than up here, but, you know, we're still getting plenty of crabs here from Louisiana, from South Carolina, Texas, and other southern states into Maryland. But crab prices are not that bad, not that bad. And this year seems like it might be a good one for the consumer, so that's a good thing. That means that crab prices are going to be down. That means you can get your couple dozen crabs or your bushel for your parties, and you will have an enjoyable time for less money than you've spent for the last couple of years. So that was one of the most interesting things I've learned this week. And always try to learn something. Always try to learn something. I was down there. What day was I down there? Thursday. Down on Hooper's Island and down that way, Golden Hill. There were sick of deer out in the middle of the day. And I was amazed to see that. These deer are out in the middle of the day. I'm talking from noon till 3 o'clock. There were sick of deer in the fields feeding. And I'm guessing it's that it was the does feeding in anticipation of dropping their fawns. You know, the sick of deer breeding season is a month earlier than the whitetails. And so, you know, relatively the same gestation period of 200 days. So their possibility is that those does are out feeding and getting ready to drop the fawns. So they're feeding in, you know, as much as they can to increase their the milk production and things like that. So just speculation on my part, but I think I'm pretty solid ground there. Okay, so we got an email from a fellow by the name of Steve, and he says he's been from Denton, been listening for years, and he wanted me to know that Dijonnaise is still available. Dijonnaise is a product that I talked about earlier, made by Hellman's. It's a mixture of Dijon mustard and mayonnaise, and I've mixed it up myself for fish, you know, just mayonnaise and Dijon mustard, but I've always liked the convenience of the Dijonnaise. It seems to have a little different flavor than what I'm able to mix with whatever. So Hellman's makes Dijonnaise. It's still available. I guess Walmart is the place where Steve saw it. And I don't know if there's a Walmart in Denton. I think there is. If not, there's one in Easton. There's one in Cambridge. So anyway, you just take your favorite fish fillet, and especially rockfish. I love it on rockfish. And you just slather it in this stuff. You know, you just squirt it all over there and rub it all over the top. You put that thing on a rack and put it in the broiler, those fillets. And you just broil them and finish them. And the Dijonnaise bubbles up on them, turned like a crusty brown. And when you see that, that fillet is done, and it is spectacular. So, he also wanted me to finish the story about the bear. And I might have told this story before. First day I was ever in the bear stand was in New Brunswick, Canada. It was 2007, and it was raining off and on, just kind of drizzling. And I smelled a wet dog, you know, coming from upwind. I was downwind of where the smell was coming from, of course, and I smelled it on three occasions, directly in front of me, and then off to my right just a little bit, and then a little further off to my right, and that's the way the wind was coming. And I said, there's a bear. I don't know what a bear smells like, but there's no wet dogs out here that I know of, so I'm going to guess that's a wet bear. And it turns out that, you know, bears don't smell very nice in the spring. So, you know, it definitely was a bear. I heard nothing for, I don't know, 20 minutes, something like that. And the next thing I heard was a bear sniffing behind me. And they have tremendous sense of smell. Their eyesight is terrible. Their hearing's okay. But their sense of smell, that's, you know, what's the old story? A bear can hear you three times and see you twice, but he only needs to smell you once or something like that. Well, I could hear this behind me. And then silence. And what had happened was, I mean, everything got quiet. There were no birds. There was nothing moving. Everything got calm, quiet. And then I heard bear sniffing behind me. Well, I dared not turn around because, first of all, I was only first day in the bear stand. I thought, you know, the bait is in front of me. This bear is behind me. So this bear is going to come around me and go to the bait. Well, my guess is he smelled me and just kind of avoided me. So I didn't see this bear. All I did was hear him close enough to hear him sniffing. So I sat there, and it got dark. And here's the rest of the story. It got dark, and I'm waiting for my guide to pick me up. And I don't know if you've ever been in the wilds of Canada, but there's nothing. There's no lights. And it's you and the sky. And it is nothing but dark. And when somebody says that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, that is not only true, it is literally true. You can hold your hand up in front of your face, or you can hold your hand out and you cannot see your own hand. It's that dark. So I'm sitting there and, you know, just kind of quietly waiting for to see headlights approaching and on the nearby road so I can walk out to meet the guide. And the next thing I hear is growl. And it wasn't a happy growl. And there was a bear on the bait, and it growled again. And I thought, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to see what's going to kill me. So I turned my headlamp on. And there was a set of eyes looking at me, a big set of eyes, about, I don't know, 3.5-4 feet off the ground. And then closer to the ground, on the right, there was a little set of eyes. And on the other side, the left, there was another little set of eyes. So I knew immediately that I had a sow bear and two cubs, and not big ones. So, and this bear's not happy. Now the bear stands up against the tree and growls again. I turned my headlamp off, gripped my shotgun just a little bit tighter, and waited. And there was more growling. And all of a sudden, I hear the bait barrel, 55-gallon drum, being struck by a bear paw. Ka-pong! And down through the woods, the barrel rolled. Ba-dong, bong, dong, bong. I thought, that is one upset bear. And then I hear jaws popping and bears running. And it was over. Quiet. So in my mind, I'm trying to put this together. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm here during breeding season. I've got a sow with two cubs who is not ready to be bred. I've got a boar, the bear behind me that was sniffing me, that wants to breed this sow, and she's having none of it, so she's protecting her cubs. And she's growling and swatting and showing aggressive behavior so that the boar will not approach her. Pretty exciting for your, you know, your first night ever in the bear stand. And it was a pretty intense 10 minutes, quite frankly. So, Steve, there's the story, the finish of the bear story. And so there you go. And by the way, Steve says Fran is one of his favorite callers. So thank you very much for the kind words, Steve. I'm glad to conclude that story for you and relive that memory of that hunt. I did take a bear the next night, and that's another story all in itself. So 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We want to welcome our new sponsor, a new old sponsor today, which is Schellinger's Papa John's Farm. And if you enjoy gardening and planting and that type of thing, I always recommend Schillinger Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. Papa John's houses, I think there's eight of them, are bursting with beautiful plants and flowers. Annuals by the pack or flat, perennials by the pot. There's bedding plants and planters and beautiful hanging baskets, pansies, impatiens, petunias, geraniums, all of them, and they even carry the proven winter specialty plants. Now, Papa John's Farm has all the vegetable plants, too, ready to plant in your home garden. Tasty tomatoes and squash and onions and watermelon and cantaloupe, 10 varieties of hot peppers and even herbs. Papa John's is located just off I-97 at exit 12. That's 8029 New Cut Road. That's what it says on the big green sign, New Cut Road. In Severn, you can drive right to the greenhouses to make your selections, or you can give them a call, 410-969-5909. I want you to think about flowers and plants from Papa John's for your garden or for your church. Mother's Day's coming too, May 8th, Sunday, May 8th, so call 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every single day. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. It'll grow on you.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
Hey, have you enjoyed decoy collecting and great wildlife art? To be careful saying that, wildlife art. Waterfowl hunting or a scenic walk along the bay. It's time for the 35th annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Harvard and Grace Decoy Museum. This year's event is Friday evening, May 6th, Saturday, May 7th, Sunday, May 8th. Admission is only $10 for the whole weekend. Children under 12 are admitted free with a paying adult. There will be carving competitions, a retriever demonstration, a live raptor display. Apparently the goose and duck calling competition was canceled. A sculling competition, a silent auction, and much more, featuring community and nonprofit organizations. There are 100 decoy carvers, wildlife artists, photographers, and others will be on hand to showcase their work, much of it for sale. The family-friendly festival has great food and lots to see and do. Free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the activity center. You can learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake at the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Haverty Grace Decoy Museum, May 6, 7, 8. For more information, visit decoymuseum.com or call them at 410-939-3739. We'll see you at the Decoy Festival. Oh, you want me to do that too? Brutal. Producer is brutal in there. I was supposed to talk about Clyde Sports Shop. I'm not ready to talk about Clyde Sports Shop, but I will anyway. All right, so there's, you know, you're going fishing, of course. Clyde's has everything you could need, one, or imagine for fishing and crabbing. But right now there's a Second Amendment sales tax event going on. You know, your taxes have to be filed by Monday. But during the tax season, so it is, you can purchase a new Browning firearm and save up to 8%. Once you take ownership, you're going to get a rebate from Browning for 8% of what you paid for the gun. Now, the Second Amendment protects your right to keep and bear arms. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives Congress the power to tax you. That's right. The good news is when you buy a new Browning firearm at retail between April 1 and April 30th, you can receive a rebate up to 8% of the purchase price to reimburse you for your state sales tax. This is like having your own little Boston Tea Party, according to the folks at Browning. I see your Browning dealer, which is Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number is 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
People pouring over our borders, wave after wave after wave of people who do not share our cultural beliefs, our beliefs about government, who do not seek to become American citizens.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 7, Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction. I got buzz baits and Zara spooks, pumpkin seeds and flukes, blue-eyed crawfish jigs. I got a 7-foot flipping stick, all the soft plastics to hook one on a Texas rig. My wife stays on me and my banker just told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction.
All right. Well, I know everybody's out there with their kids somewhere today, or else they're out there on the charter boat or in their own boat fishing for those big trophy striped bass. And God bless you if you're out there. If you haven't quite made it yet and you feel like talking on the phone, I'm more than glad to take your phone calls here. We haven't had one single phone call, have we? Huh. Well, it must be me. I'll take the blame. Not very interesting show today. So, you know, apparently no callers. Nothing controversial going on out there, so. I mean, there is, but, yeah. Fort Smallwood boat ramp's going to be open Monday. Ribbon cutting is going to take place with all the local high muckety-mucks and the Maryland Department of Resources Deputy Secretary Joanne Throw. She'll join the Anne Arundel County leaders and residents for the grand opening of one of Maryland's largest public boat ramps at Fort Smallwood Park along the Patapsco River in Pasadena. Joanne Throw's a nice lady. County Executive Steve Shue will be there. The director of the County Recreation Parks, Rick Anthony, will be there, and County Councilman Derek Fink, Delegate Nicholas Kipke, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Natural Resources Planner Bill Perry will also be there. April 18th, 1:30 p.m., rain or shine at Fort Smallwood Park, 9500 Fort Smallwood Road in Pasadena, Maryland. And why? Well, why? Well, here's why. Anne Arundel County has seen more demand for boat access than any other region in the state. The two-lane ramp, two lanes now, two whole lanes, will increase trailerable access for county residents and visitors, especially for boaters to the north. The DNR provides a portion of the funding using the Waterway Improvement Program Open Space Grant as part of an effort to increase public water access throughout Maryland. So there you are, residents of Anne Arundel County, the new boat ramp. Jennifer in Timonium wants to talk about soft shell crabs. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Alan. Alan, I almost called you last year, but the soft-shell crabs are coming in, I think.
Yep.
And my mother always cooked them in fresh bacon grease.
Oh.
But she smeared them with, like, French's mustard. So what happens is when you cook them, the French's mustard disappears, but it gives them flavor.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That sounds like a great idea.
Oh, it's a good idea.
Yep.
And I don't like a lot of Old Bay, so if I buy crab meat, I just, in a pan, in butter, I brown the, not a lot, but I brown the crab meat.
Yep.
And then just put a little mustard and mayonnaise, and you can really taste the crab.
That's the whole idea, isn't it?
That's the whole, when I see on the cooking shows how they, you know, deep fry them and put onions and tomatoes, it just gets me. One last thing I'll tell you. I live in Timonium, close to the Beltway.
Yep.
And I was looking out my window. It was about, I guess, 11 o'clock in the morning. And about 11 deer crossed the street.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Eating everybody's plants. Blessings, and have a good crab season.
All right, okay? Jennifer, thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. There goes Matt. Here comes Matthew in Pasadena. Good morning, Matthew. How are you?
Operator.
Well, Matthew had to leave us, I guess. Call back, Matt, if you want. Here we go. Two men will lose their hunting privileges after pleading guilty Monday in Harford District Court to deer poaching charges. Stephen Eugene Knuckles, N-U-C-K-O-L-S, Jr., 31, of Bel Air, and Brian Joseph Knuckles, 25, of Perry Hall. I'm guessing they're brothers. Or relatives. Anyway, they were arrested last year for using lights to aid them while hunting in an illegal practice known as jacklighting. Actually, they weren't hunting, they were poaching. But that being said, Stephen Knuckles was sentenced to 6 months in jail, all suspended. He was fined $100 plus court costs, and he was placed on 2 years of unsupervised probation. His Maryland hunting license was revoked for 4 years. Brian Knuckles was given probation before judgment. He was fined $100 plus court costs and was placed on 2 years of unsupervised probation. His Maryland hunting license was revoked for 2 years. Six other charges, ranging from negligent hunting to having a loaded firearm in a vehicle, were placed on the inactive docket. The men could have faced up to 6 years in prison, fines as much as $11,750, and revocation of their hunting privileges for up to 5 years. But no, they each get a $100 fine, PBJ, and 2 years of unsupervised probation. A rifle, two flashlights, and other hunting gear were forfeited to the state. The two men were stopped last November 29th near Darlington Cemetery after a Maryland Natural Resource police officer on patrol saw a car driving slowly up and down along Shoresville Road. The driver backed into two driveways so the car's occupants could scan the fields with high beams and another light. The officer stopped the vehicle and found a loaded rifle under the car's back seat. Stephen Knuckles is on probation until April 2017 for a 2013 trespassing conviction obtained by the Maryland Natural Resources Police. He was found guilty previously of trespassing on private property in 2008, hunting without a license in possession in 2010, and hunting without permission in 2010, all in Harford County. And Brian Knuckles was found guilty of trespassing on private property in Harford County in 2008. So these guys are serial ne'er-do-wells and don't care about the law. So they're laughing up their sleeve at the court system for a $100 fine. And what damn difference does it make if you take their license? They don't care anyway. Wildlife Poaching Restitution Act. Only on a conviction for killing a deer. $2,000 to $5,000 mandatory fine. 80 hours of community service for a white-tailed deer with a rack score under 150 inches. Boone and Crockett Club, or any sick of deer. White-tailed doe, $300 to $500, and 40 hours of community service. Poaching Restitution Act, Part 2. Any white-tailed deer with a rack score over 150 Boone and Crockett inches, $5,000 to $10,000, mandatory fine, 80 hours of community service. Go ahead. Kill deer illegally in Maryland now. Let's talk to Ross in Pasadena. Good morning, Ross. How are you?
I'm doing great, Alan. You sound nice and strong and ready to roll this morning.
I feel pretty good, actually. I got a good night's sleep.
Yeah, you do. I'm getting ready to buy some shadrow. I hope I didn't pass the peak of the season.
I think you're right in the heart of it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you get shadrow. I mean,
yeah. You're
going to know if it's not good.
Right, I know. I usually get it from Wegmans up in Hunt Valley, so I guess I'll run up there today and
pick
some up.
How do you fix it?
I usually buy about 12 sets of it, and then I freeze it, and I usually have one a month as a special treat, and take it from the freezer, let it thaw out overnight in the fridge, and then pat it, you know.
Yeah, do you use a food saver or anything like that?
No, what I do, I just, when I buy it, I just wash it off very cleanly, and then I pat it dry, and then I use Saran Wrap, then aluminum foil, and then put it in one big tray, and then put it in the freezer.
I see.
So it's very well protected.
Good.
And I just fry it in butter with a little salt and pepper.
Yeah.
That's it. Simple.
I like roe.
I do too.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And, you know, especially like yellow perch or white perch or anything like that, anything you find with roe in it, you know, is good. And I have fried it up. I have done it with the eggs and all that type of thing, but it's eggs with eggs. That's almost a redundant deal. But, you know, yeah, I like it.
I always have it for breakfast, sometimes for you know, evening meal, but I usually have it with breakfast with a couple of fried eggs with it.
Yep, and grits, they're good with grits, too.
Yeah, my father was in the wholesale seafood business number of years ago.
I see.
They're still on now, and we always remember when the roe would come in, it was a big event.
Yep, indeed, it's a great treat.
So. Yeah. Well, nice listening to you, and my wife put me on to your show about 10 years ago, and I've been listening to you ever since.
Oh, you're a junior listener. I've been here almost 28.
Well, I may have been a little longer than that.
Nah.
Say about 10 or 12 years.
Got you, buddy. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Ross. Talk to you soon.
Good work.
Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye. There he goes. All right. Hey, we have the new hunting and trapping regulations have been submitted for final approval, and that is that means the Maryland Record. That's all that Maryland Register. Excuse me. Once it's entered in the Maryland Register, it's a done deal. Here are some of the highlights: hunting black bears and wild turkeys with the aid of bait will remain illegal. However, it will be legal in the fall season for turkeys and during the bear season if the hunter and the game taken are at least 150 yards from a known bait source. Black bear hunting area will be extended to include all of Frederick and all of Washington counties. Hunting will be by special permit issued by the traditional lottery system. On sick of deer hunting is no longer restricted to Caroline, Dorchester, Somerset, Talbot, Wicomico, and Worcester counties. So if you take a sick of deer anywhere in Maryland, I'm guessing still going to be restricted to the mid to lower eastern shore. It's all good. And we did happen to print out the entire list of regulations. One of them is providing false information. They're going to add language to the existing regulation requiring the check-in of deer and turkeys to clarify that it is illegal to knowingly provide false information during the check-in process. In other words, if you check in a turkey today, Don't lie about it. Or if you check in a deer in the upcoming deer season and you say that, you know, let's say you kill the spike buck and you go, oh, I'm just going to check that in as one of my does, that's illegal. Or if you check a deer in that you have not harvested. Let me explain. The rationale behind this new regulation is to clarify that it is illegal to knowingly provide false information when registering a deer or turkey harvest via the various check-in mechanisms provided by the department on your cell phone, on the app, you know, online, so forth. And here are the comments from the department. Hunters may knowingly provide false information during the check-in process to cover an illegal act or to allow for an illegal act in the future. This would include registering an antlered deer as an antlerless deer, a non-bearded turkey as a bearded, or claiming to have killed a deer they did not kill. So you shoot a hen on Monday, you go, I'm going to be in trouble, I'll just register it as a gobbler. That's illegal. Knowingly checking it in, providing false information is now illegal. So same way with, you know, a doe that you didn't kill. I'll just call my does in, nobody's going to know the difference. Well, guess what? It's illegal. So. Okay, you've got it. The baiting deal is the same for bears and turkeys. You know, there's a lot of people that are deer hunting up there in Western Maryland, and during the fall turkey season, you know, it comes in the first week of November, which is the same as the rut, and you may not be a turkey hunter, you may be a deer hunter. But, you know, you've got corn out for the deer. And it used to be, you used to be able to get charged with, you know, baiting turkeys if you killed a turkey anywhere in the vicinity on the same property as a deer stand with bait. In other words, you could be half a mile away on the same property and not even know there's bait there, and you could have been charged. Same way with bears. Well, they've cleared that up now. There's a safety zone around those baiting sites. So, there we go. What else is there? The only other thing is CWD, and what they're doing is to modify the chronic wasting disease transport restriction to allow whole carcasses from other state CWD-positive areas to be brought into Maryland and CWD management area or to a CWD-approved processor or taxidermist. Restrictions associated with CWD management can deter deer hunters from hunting in a particular area. Lack of hunter effort results in increased deer numbers, which can promote the spread of the disease. Removing restrictions such as the carcass transport can aid with regional deer control, hunter compliance, and CWD management. That's the rationale. The comments are that carcass transport does not appear to be a significant cause of the spread of CWD. Allowing whole carcasses to be brought into our CWD management area, this is chronic wasting disease, by the way, to approve chronic wasting disease taxidermists and processors should not increase the rate of expansion of CWD in Maryland. It's reasonable. Don, Captain Don, down there in Stony Beach is on the line. What's up, Captain Don?
Oh, good morning, Alan.
Good morning. How are you?
All the listeners. Oh, pretty good, pretty good. I had an interesting week, too. Went up to Havity Grace and went out on the boat and did a little bit of rock fishing right there on the Susquehanna Flat.
Mm-hmm.
And catch and release. But, man, a lot of boats up there and a lot of folks were catching some nice rockfish. And happened to stop in Fishbones and see Mr. Bud.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very optimistic and upbeat about the upcoming season for fish and for crabs.
Yep.
And I sent you some pictures of the boat ramp down at Fort Smallwood.
I saw that, yep.
And, you know, just a big shout-out to everyone who had anything to do with using our tax money to build something very, very wonderful and useful for the community. I mean, it's just, it's very nice down there. They've done a good job down in Fort Smallwood. This thing about the poaching.
Yeah.
And, when you look at the DNR website and you read the paper about what happens to folks who get caught, you know, with the oyster situation and you know, the rockfish out of season, and when they get to court, nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a commentary on what's going on in society today. I mean, there are laws. There are laws on the book. There are regulations. And there's not a price to pay many times. Why not take the chance?
Listen.
Why not take the chance? Nothing's going to happen when I get to court.
Well, listen, here, this is what happened. We've got the letters from the judiciary. When the Poaching Restitution Act went to the floor of the Senate, it was heard in committee, went to subcommittee, came back to committee, and the committee found favorable report to report it to the floor. Okay, this is on the Senate side. This is Senate Bill 266, Johnny Ray Solling's bill. When it went to the floor, there was a floor fight, and if you read the, we've got the whole calendar. It was special ordered, I think, three times in a row because judiciary had a problem with our poaching bill. They don't want to punish the bad guys. So Senator Bobby Zirkin spoke for the judiciary and amended the Poaching Restitution Act to knock out the bottom of the penalty phase. In other words, sure, we'll fine these guys up to $5,000, but don't tell us what to do. So they knocked the bottom out, which meant we said mandatory $2,000 to $5,000. They said no, and they amended the bill. Well, at that point, it was useless. What's the point if you have no set bottom where you can really punish the poachers for doing these illegal acts, okay? So Senator Solling accepted the amendment with an agreement with the chair that when the House bill came over, which wasn't amended by anybody on the judiciary, and our delegate, Tony O'Donnell, spoke very strongly in the committee that, you know, if the judiciary wanted to try and create laws, then they should probably run for the General Assembly and be a delegate or be a senator rather than be a judge, and received you know, favorable yahoos around the table in the House committee. His bill was not amended on the floor, and his bill was also found favorable, reported to the full floor. So what happened was, when it's crossover time, the Senate hears the House bills, the House hears the Senate bills. The Senate approved the House version of the bill, which did not have the amendment. And when it went to the full floor, it was voted on unanimously, and House Bill 410 became law and went to the governor's desk for signature about a week before signee die. In the end, the House did approve the Senate bill, the Senate bill had been amended to match the House bill, so both bills were the same, and both bills had the strength, the full strength of the penalty phase. So we have two bills, one in the House, one in the Senate. The House approved the Senate bill, the Senate approved the House bill. That's the way it works, and both bills are now on their way to the governor's desk for signature to become law. He will pick or choose one of the others. He will either pick Senate Bill 266 or House Bill 410 to sign. He may sign both, but he'll probably pick one or the other and sign it, and then the Poaching Restitution Act will become the law of Maryland. So,
well, that's great.
Yeah, $2,000 to $5,000 fine for sick of deer and white-tailed bucks under 150 inches Boone and Crockett on the Boone and Crockett scoring system, and then over 150 inches, the fine is $5,000 to $10,000 mandatory. These are mandatory fines with 80 hours of community service. So these are very good penalties for these bad guys.
As you've often indicated, legislation is a very complicated situation sometimes, but I'm just wondering, do you have a sense of who lobbies the watered-down bills like the one we're talking about now?
That would be the Judiciary Committee.
Is there a lobby of lawyers?
The Judiciary Committee is lawyers. They're all defense lawyers.
Yeah, okay. Well, that says it all.
Okay. Yeah, they're all lawyers. So,
yeah, they don't want to put themselves out of business.
Good point.
Anyway, looking forward to good fishing days, and I see the boats out there now. So
enjoy it. All right, Don. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Bye-bye. There he goes. Hey, for great fishing tackle and crabbing supplies and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I'm going to recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Captain Don just mentioned it there. You take 100 all the way to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. You go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay, you can get right there at Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you will ever find anywhere. Here's that phone number, 410-360-0573, 360-0573, for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Do you know what? The Harvard and Grace Decoy Museum is having the 35th Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival coming up on May 7th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's only $10 for the entire weekend. Kids under 12 are admitted free with a paying adult. There will be carving competitions, a retriever demonstration, a live raptor, that's birds of prey, display, a sculling competition, a silent auction, much more. All featuring community and nonprofit organizations. There will be on hand 100 decoy carvers, wildlife artists, photographers, and others will be there to showcase their work, and much of it will be for sale, of course. The family-friendly festival has great food and lots to see and do. Free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the activity center. You learn about great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake at the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Harvard and Grace Decoy Museum, May 6th, May 7th, May 8th. For more information, it's decoymuseum.com. Give them a call, 410-939-3739. We'll see you at the Decoy Festival. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Start your day with Sean and Frank, Maryland's wake-up call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yeah! Here comes Amos! Now Amos Moses was a Cajun. lived by herself in the swamp. They hunted alligator for a living. It just knocked them in the head with a stomp. The Louisiana law gon' get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy. Now everybody blamed his old man for making him mean as a snake. When Amos Moses was a boy, his daddy would use him for alligator bait. Tie a rope around his waist and throw him in the swamp. Alligator bait in the Louisiana Bayou. About 45 minutes southeast of Tippy Doe, Louisiana.
Oh, alligator, using humans for alligator bait? Here in Maryland? The fine?
I see this. It's fine.
Named him after a man of the cloth.
All right. Well, Jerry, yeah. Amos Moses. Gotta love that guy. All right. What I want to tell you here in the remaining minute. Oh, I do want to tell you the ticket sales for the Kubota RTV 500 in camo with a roof and a windshield and a screen are going well. You can get your tickets online at the Maryland Hunting Coalition website. That's mdhuntingcoalition.org. There's a little place there. You can click right on the homepage. It'll take you right to the store. The tickets for that are $20 or 3 for $50. We're only selling 1,500 tickets, and we're drawing that it's about $11,000-$12,000 unit. We're drawing that on September 17th, unless we sell out quicker. You can check that out. And then there's also a 50-person dove hunt available for September 17th. On the Upper Eastern Shore, the ground has been donated by the Upper Bay Gun Club, and we want to thank Tom Slavin for that. That's $150 a man. Just go to again, mdhuntingcoalition.org website. You can click right on there, and we'd love to see you at the dove shoot. That's right. All right. Maryland Hunting Coalition doing its best to protect, preserve, advance, promote our hunting traditions and lifestyle here in Maryland. mdhuntingcoalition.org is how you get there. And we want to thank you today for listening. If you have to leave us, if you're going turkey hunting, going rock fishing this morning, we appreciate you joining us. For the rest of you, we'll be back after the news.